10,000 years we have borne our babe. For masters and systems we've taught. For 10,000 years we have been enslaved. We will suffer in silence no more. Women unite. Join your sisters in the fight. Struggle.
Good afternoon. I'm Viv Sutherland. Welcome to The Velvet Sledgehammer, a magazine of the air produced by the WBAI Women's Department. Today we'll hear Hot Flashes from Majority Report, a story on a woman's place produced by Irene Yarrow, and Judy Pasternak and Viv Sutherland talking with author Kate Millett. And now, the news. And now some hot flashes from Majority Report. This is Nancy Borman with the latest women's news. At least one Carter administration labor expert feels it is more important for men to have jobs than for women. Arnold Packer, Assistant Secretary of Labor for Policy Evaluation and Research, recently sent a memo to Secretary of Labor F. Ray Marshall on the subject of welfare reform. After clarifying his conviction that, quote, one can think of the traditional American family structure with two parents and children in which the family head goes out to work and makes enough of a living to keep the family together, the major thrust of any program ought to be to support this as the predominant situation for Americans. Packer goes on to state that, quote, for most cases, it is important to provide the male head of the family with the opportunity to work. Just in case anyone might feel the Carter administration might be taking a step backward from equal opportunity for both sexes, Parker comments that, quote, none of this is anti-feminist. In fact, however, 90% of the heads of welfare households are women. One of New York State's best-kept state secrets will be secret no more by the end of this week. The New York marriage contract, all the terms and conditions you are agreeing to when you sign on the dotted line, and which have never before been assembled for public information, will be unveiled at an anti-wedding sponsored by Majority Report on Friday, June 24th from 6 to 9 p.m. at 144 West 90th Street in Manhattan. Formal attire is optional. Wine and cake will be served, and there will be proper entertainment. Copies of the contract will be available. Did you know, for example, that the wife is required by law to do the housework, or that the man has the right to have the children given his name? We're not as liberated as we think. Suggested donation is $5, but anyone wearing a wedding gown or a tuxedo will be let in for half price. Valerie Solanas is on the streets of the Lower East Side peddling a new printing of her feminist classic, The Scum Manifesto. The book, originally published by Olympia Press, with changes the author claims were unauthorized, has been out of print for several years. But when the publisher went out of business, the copyright reverted to Solanas, and she paid to have the book printed up as a newsprint tabloid. 10 years after the fact, it's still outrageous and still relevant. Valerie Solanas' edition of the Scum Manifesto has also been spotted on some newsstands. Well, now, there's a perfect solution to the question of what to do about the sexist abuses of pornography without weakening freedom of the press or the First Amendment. When that helicopter keeled over atop the Pan Am building last month, its propeller blade chopped 4 people into bits. One of those victims was Michael Finlay, the filmmaker who made the movie Snuff. An X-rater that supposedly showed the rape and dismemberment of a South American prostitute. Feminists had picketed the movie, and some had tried to get the courts to close the theater. Now they have a precedent that no civil libertarian can argue with. Direct intervention from the powers above. New York Now has announced plans for a large-scale women's rights march and rally to take place on Saturday, August 27th, to mark the anniversary of the Women's Suffrage Amendment, which was ratified on August 26th, 1920. Now is calling on all groups that support women's rights to join in the planning, pointing out that after 201 years, the United States still treats women as second-class citizens, an essential injustice that spills over into a multitude of issues such as daycare cutbacks, restrictions on birth control, and official apathy toward violence against women. The next planning meeting for the event will be on Wednesday, June 22nd at 6 p.m. in the NOW office at 47 East 19th Street in Manhattan. Well, June 19th to the 25th is Lesbian Pride Week, and there are events planned for every day except Monday. On Sunday, June 19th, there will be a program called Coming Out Proud with Marianne Antoinelle, Meredith Gould, and Doris London at 8 p.m. at the Women's Center at 243 West 20th Street in Manhattan. On Tuesday, June 21st, you can come out as a lesbian witch at a summer solstice celebration called Lesbian Spirit. There will be the New York premiere of Muse Reel No. 1, a film of Boston Women's Spirituality Conference, and this will all take place at 8 p.m. at the Women's Center. On Wednesday, June 22nd, the theme will be Lesbianism, a Personal Politic, with Ginny Appuzzo, Andrea Dworkin, Bertha Harris, and Eileen Kane at 8 p.m. at the Women's Center at 243 West 20th Street. On Thursday, June 23rd, there will be a discussion of Amazon sexuality with Polly Kellogg, Roz Richter, and Jan Crawford at 8 p.m. at the Women's Center. On Friday, June 24th, there will be the Lesbian Pride Concert with Alex Dopkin, Sally Piano, and Teresa Troll at 7:30 p.m. at Washington Irving High School, 40 Irving Place. On Saturday, June 25th, there will be an LFL brunch open house from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Women's Center, including poetry, photography, and lots of good food. The brunch will be highlighted with films by Jan Oxenberg, Home Movie, I'm Not One of Them, Comedy and Six Unnatural Acts, with showings at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., and this will take place at the Women's Center. The Lesbian Pride Dance will take place Saturday night, June 25th at 9 p.m. at the Loeb Student Center at 566 LaGuardia Place in Manhattan. A donation of $3.50, more if you can, less if you can't, includes beer and soda. All events are women only. You can't always get what you want. Far Eastern Economic Review reports that a Latin American diplomat entered the Capitol Hospital in Peking, claiming that the lack of opportunity for sexual relations was becoming a medical problem for him. After examination, the doctors agreed and told him they would help. They instructed him to, quote, return to your hotel room and get into bed. At 8 p.m., you will receive treatment. The diplomat reportedly obeyed. Trembling with anticipation, he jumped into bed and turned out the lights in his room. At 8 o'clock, he glimpsed a young woman in a white robe stepping through his door. She approached the bed, grabbed his arm, and stuck a hypodermic needle into it. That should take care of your problem for 6 weeks, she said, repacking her doctor's bag. A sign of the times is the narrow defeat this month by the Roman Senate of a bill to legalize abortion in Italy. The lower chamber of parliament in the heavily Roman Catholic country had approved the bill, but the Senate nixed it 2-1. Superior Court Judge Gordon Minder is expected to rule this week on a lesbian woman's appeal to have her son live with her. Jean Julian had charged that last May her son's father and the police had taken Gary, her 4-year-old child, while she was out in custody of the boy on the grounds that the mother was receiving welfare, was a lesbian, and was not on good terms with her parents because of her sexual preference. In her appeal, Julian asked the Superior Court not to rule against her request to keep the child merely on the grounds that she is a homosexual. Said Julian's lawyer, Jill Lippitt, quote, people in mixed marriages, poor people, gay people, disabled people, people with non-traditional politics are subject to losing their children if this decision holds. Among those endorsing Julian's appeal are Congressman Ron Dellums and the National Black Feminist Alliance. Over 2 million copies of the classic study on female sexuality, The Height Report, are now in print. Author and researcher Sherry Height says the book is being translated into at least 10 different languages, including Portuguese, Hebrew, Dutch, and Japanese. Height says she has already collected 2,500 questionnaires from men aged 13 to 92 on male sexuality, and will be out with a book on that subject in 1979. A Detroit judge has dropped 2 murder counts and several other charges of poisoning against 2 Filipino nurses. The nurses, Lenore Perez and Filipina Narciso, had been charged with murder, poisoning, and conspiracy in connection with a rash of mysterious deaths at the Veterans Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan. U.S. District Judge Philip Pratt dropped the murder charges and 4 counts of poisoning against Perez and ordered Narciso acquitted on 1 murder count and 2 of poisoning this week. The prosecution had charged that the nurses conspired to murder 2 men who died of breathing failures and poison, a number of others with the muscle relaxant Pavilion. The 2 nurses who took the stand in their own defense last week still face several counts of poisoning and conspiracy. A San Francisco Bay Area researcher and lecturer, popularly known as Doc Rock, says that a number of the many pop musicians, especially those popular during the 1950s and early 60s, are sexist and racist. Eric Israelo, an ethnomusicologist, says he has studied pop music from real oldies like Pat Boone up to Paul Anka, Dion, and the present. He charges that pop music is filled with racist and sexist stereotypes. Israelo called Paul Anka, quote, the leading sexist performer in the world today for his hit Having My Baby. Doc Rock also claims Leslie Gore perpetuated jealousy and competition among women with lyrics like It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. And Pat Boone, he said, made thousands of dollars by stealing the music of black artists like Little Richard, who was, quote, censored by white radio stations in the 50s. Israelo adds that one of Boone's own songs, Speedy Gonzales, is filled with racist stereotypes of Latinos. All is not hopeless, however. Israelo claims that a few musicians are now trying to get rid of sexism in pop music. Among those are John Lennon, with his song Women Are the Niggers of the World, and Country Joe McDonald with Sexist Pig, the doctor says. Nearly 10,000 people in Madison, Wisconsin, have signed petitions for the recall of a Madison judge who said that rape was a normal reaction. Judge Archie Simonson handed down the ruling in the case of a 16-year-old woman who was gang-raped by 3 high school students last year. Simonson said the rape was a normal reaction to sexual permissiveness in Madison and sentenced a defendant to 1 year of court supervision. 21,000 signatures are needed for the recall election. Men who smoke more than 10 cigarettes daily are likely to endanger the life and health of their unborn children. This is true even if the mother is a non-smoker, according to an exhaustive study done for the West German government. The study was conducted over a 12-year period by 21 hospitals and research institutes. It involved nearly 15,000 pregnant women. West German researchers say they found a clear pattern of births of children with deformities and increased infant deaths when fathers were regular smokers. The study also discovered that coffee consumption by pregnant women is likely to cause infants to be born underweight and that extensive alcohol use can lead to premature births. More and more women are pumping iron these days. Southern California physical fitness instructor Dale Adrian says that just 2 years ago, only a few hundred women were interested in lifting weights. Now, says the instructor, there are about 10,000 in the United States alone. Adrian says that women are worrying less now about muscle building, being unfeminine, and have started doing weight training as a substitute for conventional trimming and toning exercises. An Indian Swami winged all the way to London to celebrate Queen Elizabeth's Silver Jubilee, but the religious man refused to even take a peek at the Queen. His Divine Holiness Sri Pramukh Swami Shatri Sri, the 57-year-old founder of a very strict celibate sect, has not seen a woman for the last 40 years. The Swami flew to London last week with 9 disciples aboard a jumbo jet from Bombay. On arriving, he told reporters, however, that he would not even venture a glance at the Queen or any other woman. His Divine Holiness said, instead, that he would listen to the celebrations of Queen Elizabeth's coronation anniversary over the radio. He claims to have 4 million followers. Women who want to fly, in outer space that is, have until the end of this month to file applications to become the United States' first women astronauts. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration reports it has received some 513 applications so far from women hoping to qualify as crew members aboard the nation's first orbital space shuttle program. NASA reports it has received over 3,200 applications in all. Some of the major requirements for the pilot job as astronaut are that the applicant have a college degree and perhaps even an advanced degree in engineering, physical sciences, or mathematics. Another requirement, however, could give many women trouble. That calls for at least 1,000 hours of first pilot time, with 2,000 hours being even more desirable. It also calls for high-performance jet testing experience. Most men acquire this type of experience in the military service as pilots. Such positions have not been traditionally open to women. NASA is also holding job interviews for mission specialists. The job requires a similar degree of experience, but no flying time. All applications must be in by June 30th. The Orbital Space Shuttle program is expected to be launched in early 1979. The spacecraft will be used to transfer cargo back and forth between space vehicles while it circles the Earth. Brand new parents are getting a break of sorts at one Cincinnati, Ohio company. The Procter & Gamble company has announced it will let either the working mother or the working father leave their jobs for 6 months to mind their baby without firing them. The reason for this new policy, according to the Wall Street Journal, is that child care facilities for infants in Cincinnati are, quote, scarce. In Sweden, incidentally, the moms and dads who take off 7 months to look after the baby not only get their jobs back, but they take home 90% of their salaries during their leave as well. Heading the list of entertainers who will perform at the National Right to Life Committee convention in Chicago this month are Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. More Right to Life news. I can quote from the Minnesota Human Life Center newsletter that, quote, together the pill and the IUD may account for about 9 million unnoticed abortions a year, a total that makes the estimated, quote, legal abortions look like reverence for life. This has been Hot Flashes from Majority Report. This is Nancy Borman.
Hi, I'm Irene Merrill. The tape you're about to hear is about a very special women's retreat in the mountains. It's called A Woman's Place. It's existed for 3 years as a place of rest, refuge, and energy gathering for many, many women. And now it's in danger of closing due to lack of support in terms of both enough money and enough commitment of the kind of hard work from enough women that can keep a place like this going. For the next half hour, you'll hear women's songs and women's poetry and women's personal feelings about what A Woman's Place has meant to them. Please excuse the technical quality of some of the tape, especially the music. I went up to A Woman's Place to record this program, not knowing there would be any. Hopefully, though, the strength and quality of women's feelings expressed throughout the tape will make up for the homemade technical sound. So sit back now, listen to this program about A Woman's Place, think about the importance of an emotional survival space for women in the country, just like this one, and also enjoy.
Living, loving women, we give of ourselves to be a home for the heart, a song for the soul, woman-centered community, nourishing space of unity. Living, loving women,
loving
we
women.
Give of ourselves to be.
Soul,
woman-centered community,
nourishing space. I'm sitting in the living room of a great big house in the mountains called A Woman's Place. It's in Athol, New York, about 5 hours' drive from New York City, about an hour and a half from Albany. A Woman's Place has been here for 3 years this September.
The first time I came to A Woman's Place, I had been away to Sagres for about 5 weeks. I was coming home to a family vacation, husband and children, not too far from Lawrenceburg. And I came on a rainy day. I decided I just about had it and came down here and talked to a couple of the women here. Came by myself. I tried to bring my daughter, and she was into reading, so she didn't come. It took me almost a year to come back. And I did come back with my daughter to a mother-daughter weekend. And it was really interesting to have a mother-daughter weekend with my own daughter. I think that we've worked out a lot of things here, the two of us. There's still a lot for us to work out, but this has been a really supportive place for me and for that kind of thing. I've been up here quite a few times for just day visits and sometimes for overnight. And it really feels good to know that there's a place like this to be, to come, where it's just women, and it feels supportive. And the it seems like the people that are here are facilitating really nice kinds of relationships happening here, nice kinds of meetings of people, and it just has a good feeling and atmosphere for me.
I have to say that the very first time I came here, I saw you and your daughter here, and I could not figure out who you were to each other, because I said, those two women look incredibly alike. I found out sometime later.
Right. I remember that weekend.
Five dogs and seven cats live at A Woman's Place, along with the women who live here all the time. Seven women are living here,
and one
4-year-old child. And you might have heard the dog growling as it ran in. Just to explain. And outside, I don't think the noises of the birds will really come through because they're kind of quiet now, but there was someone hammering in the distance, and that will probably be on the tape too.
The first time that I came to A Woman's Place, I had just been going through a lot of changes in my life and making a lot of decisions about what I wanted to do. It was about 3 weeks after I had come out as a lesbian, which was a really important turning point of my life, and I needed to connect with a lot of women, and I wanted women to be part of my life, and I became I connected up with some women in Albany, and they told me that I should come to A Woman's Place. And I came here the first time, and I was really afraid to come because I was coming alone. And, well, I was always outgoing or whatever, you know, people say that they are. You know, I didn't feel uncomfortable about being with people that I didn't know, but I just was afraid. And when I got here, it was just like a whole different feeling came over me. All the women here, the women that are part of the collective, and the women that were visiting for that weekend just made me feel incredibly comfortable, you know, just like from the second that I set foot on the land. And after my first time, I came up on weekends here and there, and you know, life for me has been kind of difficult in the past year, and there was one point where things just got real intense, and I felt like I was going through a mental breakdown, a nervous breakdown, an emotional, spiritual, just like everything was just falling apart, and I felt like this was the perfect place for me to come. Because I knew that what I needed was just to be able to be in the country, to just relax, to be around women, and not to be, you know, in a city area. So So I came here, I guess it was about a week and a half, and I worked out a lot of things. And it was really interesting because the weekend that I was here for was Women in Madness, and there were a lot of women that came up that were going through their own individual madnesses. So it was, that was real important for me to, you know, see that I was not alone and that there are many women that go through things like this. A Woman's Place has meant so many things for me, and the women here that live here and the women that come here, it's just been so wonderful. It's been real important, a real important space, because we can come and meet new women and exchange ideas and just get healthy.
I wasn't going to talk on it because I felt that I hadn't been up here often enough to really be able to say something about A Woman's Place. But after hearing three of my friends talk, I realized that whether I've been up here a lot or not, A Woman's Place has certainly affected me a lot. I think when thinking on my own life and of the places where I relate to women, say at work or when I go out socially, and comparing that with the atmosphere here, there's a very large and marked difference. Women in our society tend to be suspicious and competitive with each other, mostly in relationship to the man. Up here, the man is off in the distance and not thought about it, and women relate to each other as strong, loving women. And that's stressed and that's lived out here. And the effect of that doesn't just stay up in Warrensburg, but I feel it really reaches out into communities, not only here, but as each woman travels on, and as some of us will be doing, it'll reach all over.
This is only my second time here, but what you just said made me sort of put it together, that one of the things that we say when we, well, I do a lot of thinking about what does it mean to be a woman-identified woman, or to be self-identified, and what it comes down to me to mean a whole lot is simply to be a whole person. And it's very hard to do that in spaces that are dominated by the patriarchy, by men, by the man, in all of the forms that the culture around us takes. And being up here, away from all of that, in a place that is completely supportive of our right and needs and desire to be whole people, we can really see ourselves that way and act that way and come here and get a whole lot of strength, and when we leave here, take that strength with us.
We are. They better catch on quick. They better change their perceptions. Better change their views. We're tired of being dumped on. We'll take no more abuse. Don't hang our pictures in no porno shop.
Yes.
And don't give us those looks as we go down the street. And don't hold the doors for us. We're not fragile. And don't. And don't. And don't you think that you own the world just 'cause you took the land. Don't you think that you own woman just 'cause you're the man. Don't you think you can take our bodies just with a word or two? Don't you think it can go on much longer? We're calling the game on you. Now when we tell you we want roses and bread, don't think that what we really want are flowers. 'Cause mister, what we're saying metaphorically is we want what's rightfully ours. We want control of our own lives, both individual and collective on every level. And don't think that you can control us. And don't. And don't. And don't you think that you own the world just 'cause you took the land. Don't you think that you own the woman just 'cause you're the man. Calling the game on you. Woo. Now there's something big happening right here. It's getting bigger and stronger from year to year. There's a lot of women rising and a lot of women proud. joining our sisters and we're saying out loud, don't think that you can rule us. And don't think that we want to rule you either. And don't think that we don't think about the things you do. And don't.
Before I came here 2.5 years ago for the first time, I thought my life was over. I had just nearly committed suicide, and I had taken a whole bunch of pills. I mean, my life was over. I was 49 then. I'm 52 now. But I feel that coming here from the hospital where I was after I tried to commit suicide, rather than going into a so-called mental hospital, that I was reborn. It wasn't that I got therapy here, and really that is not what I needed. What I needed was validation, love, and acceptance. And I got all three of these here from a complete group of strangers. We came up here, my two daughters brought me, and it was like the day after Thanksgiving, 2.5 years ago. And nobody knew me, nobody knew my daughters. But from the moment that I stepped in that door, there was an atmosphere of love. And hey, you're beautiful, and hey, we want you to stay as long as you can. And at that time, there were 7 women and 8 children and several animals living here. And it was dead of winter. I mean, Thanksgiving here, you know, there's already 2-3 feet of snow. And I thought, you know, I would freeze to death. I simply just wasn't used to it. But how could I freeze to death when there was so much love here? I couldn't, because every time I sat down on the couch, somebody came and put an afghan over me. You know, and that was it. If I was on the couch, it was fine. If I called someone over to come and talk to me, or hey, I would really like to meet with a few people and have a discussion, there's like we once got together. In those days, we would have rap sessions. We were very much into rapping. And they asked me for a topic, and I said, well, something very close to my heart is death. And I'm sure that this was not a topic that they were crazy about talking about. But, you know, we had they lived through it for me. And I got, some really strong feelings from that rap. The feeling for the place was, it was love, and Ruth, you're beautiful, and Ruth, we need you, and when are you coming here? And I don't know if I'm getting across, you know, how much knowing that this place is here, and it exists for me. It's my connection. It's my place, because this place was instrumental in my rebirth.
Erica Silver, poetry.
This is a poem I wrote having spent some time at a woman's place and having experienced the death of a close friend and was without a place to cope. Imagine yourself surrounded by friends ripening, coming together out of the rich earth in one of those rare moments you've been planning for months. Imagine missing the moment, unable even to reach for it as it moves on, leaving behind the promise of more to come. Never have you felt more alone. Moving in slow, spastic movements as if your hands were not your own, wanting to pull yourself in toward the circle of light, you feel yourself pushing away and leaving. Leaving, you are moving inward outside the circle. This night, you must travel alone before any rejoining can be held safely in your strong traveled arms. Never have you felt more alone. The fullness of friendship serves only a sore reminder of how the distance deepens out of control. You trust only your own 2 feet out of necessity. Nearing the edge of a new sun, a circle of strangers, women with magic and a passion for life offer you a place to rest your frightened soul. Wary, needing the space of a night sky and the warmth of being among friends, you step closer. Your feet tread a tired dance, and your eyes ask only to rest briefly and to be loved only for being. You taste their wine, offering only a song of the night. Your journey, your pain, in silence, becomes them, fills their spirit with new strength. You drink deeply now. Their eyes, their hands, and muscled arms, their voices are a gift in which you bathe, nourished by the firelight of a woman's place. Imagine yourself surrounded by friends, ripening, coming together out of the rich earth. The circle widens to hold you, a traveler come home, bringing the 2 circles into one. The circle widens again, and we are nourished at the burning hearth of the birth of a new world. The vision moves on, leaving behind the promise of more to come. The circle opens, widens, strengthens, deepening on our journey round the sun. My experience with someone close to me dying and coming here, coming to a woman's place to deal with that breaking down. I was considerably non-functional. I had dropped out of school. I had quit my job. I had stopped living in my apartment because I had been living alone and I couldn't stand being by myself. I was just not performing the functions of everyday life for myself very well, and looking around for a place to curl up and cry for a few weeks or die or do whatever had to be done. And out of desperation, I had made the decision to live with some family, which probably would have led me on the road to either a shrink or a hospital or some place that really would have invalidated what my experience was, which was a very psychic and spiritual experience and a very painful experience, and all of those things were very real, and I was having a very hard time even believing what was happening to me. And I think that I found this place out of the need to find it in the same way that it is here because there is such a need for it to be here. And I was here for 2 weeks really allowed to do whatever it was I had to do, which was mostly keep to myself and go through what I was going through. And there was a lot of life energy around me, which I didn't feel able to participate in, but it felt really good. It felt really vital. I had to have that around me, and it revived me, and it gave me the energy to do all the decision-making that I did. And after that, I came up off and on for a few months, just about every weekend. I also had very little money at the time and gave what I could, but that was accepted, and I never felt guilty. I was never made to feel guilty or poor or bad because I wasn't functioning. And I met a lot of women on weekends who connected with my experience. It was just the things that went on here for me could not have happened at that time anywhere else. And had I not come here, I think that I would have been in I would have been on really different roads, and that frightens me. The thought of women's space not existing is very frightening to me because I know from my experience that I know what happens to women in hospitals most of the time and what happens to women in a psychiatrist's office, and that my experience is a common one. Life, people die, and we just go through incredible things, and we need the time and the space to do that and to get stronger. And the woman's place is that place, is the place for women to come and get stronger, and really needs to exist. Since that time, it's a year ago, more than a year now, I've dealt with a lot of spiritual questions and connecting them to feminism, which I think is something that's happening a lot, and this is a poem that's come out of that. It's partly, the second part of it is specifically to Leslie, the woman who died, and she was killed in a car beside a waterfall, and there are a lot of references to that. It's good to know. It's called This Is For You, Sisters United Against the Death of Woman. Have you touched your own hunger or run from it? Night following night, trailing dreams of death and a pulsing into the pain of it? Have you touched yourself in your very own pain? Or does a pane of glass come between? Break it, let it cut at the wrist, let it scream your life to the sky. This is for you, sisters united against the death of woman, that there is one way to die, and that is at the hands of man, and that there is, but this is a secret, another way, whisper it, there is a choice, there is a cycle, the cycle of life, and the man stand ready to war. There are two ways to die, and there is, but this is the secret, a way to live. Touch fear and name it for what it is. Let this hunger consume you. Let the blood mix with water and rush downward. We are light falling. We are women flowing with a driving force into darkness, releasing cold jets of what is and what is not, of what was and what is now. This is a time of flood, water forms in pockets of earth, and we lie still, open to the spray, turning upwards to the sun, pushing deep into the earth. Energy is released in the fall of light and water, and the return to the source. I am calling your name to the sun. I am flowing into falls, drinking your blood. This is the season when I will take you into me, consume you, consume your blood that is mixed with earth, consume your name, your voice, your laugh, your eyes full of woman force, your hunger for sun and air, and your embracing of death. I will hold you until I am full of that pain. I will meet you in my pain. I will take you in until the water has stopped falling and I lie in the puddle of your life on earth. I will swallow the water falling where you died, trapped in the man's machine. I will swallow you whole, life and death, wherever you are. And although it will make me bleed somewhere inside forever, I will tear you from inside me, unnatural birth out of unnatural death. I will take hold where we join in flesh so that you pull me toward you and I touch fear, name it for what it is. I call your name. I touch choice, know it by name. I open to you, consume you, touching my hunger. I open to you as you are now. I consume you, touching my hunger, which is without end. In our strength we join, and in our strength, at last, we part. The sky opens, a star lights the way. I stand holding a basket of light. At my feet, splinters of glass reflect the sun. There is now a rising motion. Water swells, seeking its level, and green life forms. We part bleeding. I hand you a basket of light and stand now with your gift. There is a slow breathing of blue light and green as I enter waters that flow level and swim on. A woman among women, moving with a quiet force that never ends.